Welcome to Inside the Match, where Alex and Simone talk residency applications.
We are two residents here to help you navigate the match.
For each podcast, we'll bring you residents from various specialties and backgrounds to give advice.
So today we are super excited to have Mila, who's an OBGYN resident. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So where are you a resident and what year are you?
I'm a resident at University of Illinois, Chicago.
So exciting. And especially when you just start your intern year, it is definitely a stressful journey, but also so memorable.
I thought I was going to be like that intern that had no idea what they were doing. And really, I was just like trying to find the bathrooms and trying to get my Epic access. And everything worked out pretty well. So far, so good.
Well, we are going to take you back to about a year ago when you were going through this entire journey. So we want to start when you were in medical school and you were preparing your application. Were you AOA?
I was not AOA. I thought I was going to get there, but no, not AOA.
Were you gold humanism?
I was gold humanism, and it was an honor to be a part of the GHHS.
Were you president of the OBGYN specialty club?
No, I was not.
And were you involved in research during medical school?
Yes. And I have to just, I know that's a rapid question, but I did not get any research until my third year of medical school. And I thought I was going to be super far behind, but I ended up doing really well with my research part of my application. So for anybody out there that's worried that they didn't get research the first 2 years, don't worry. There are a ton of opportunities once you hit third year.
That is so helpful to hear and really important for people to realize, especially as they're really stressing out, as they're filling out this ERAS application, and there's an entire section devoted to research.
Exactly. Don't worry about it. But I do recommend doing research. OBGYN is getting a lot more competitive, and that's a really important part of the application these days.
So let's talk about that ERAS application, because throughout this process, you're determining what things you're going to put into your research, your work experiences, your volunteer experiences, and your hobbies. And there's so much in there. And I'm just curious what sorts of questions and topics people tended to bring up during your OBGYN interviews in regards to your ERAS.
Yeah, I realized I went on a lot of interviews, and what always got brought up was my research. And I kind of wondered like, okay, is this just the first page of the application everybody saw and that's what they ran with? Or was that really the most interesting part of my application? Because I swear I got asked the same question over and over again at different interviews, but it was really great because it was something I was genuinely interested in. And I highly suggest don't do research that you're not interested in, because if you can't put passion in and fire behind your answers, they can read that, you know, they can read right through it. And so I always got asked about my research, and most recently my research with COVID. Not necessarily, I wasn't doing any bench research, but I did a few projects around the city. I went to school in New York, and there was, of course, like when COVID went down, I think New York was one of the epicenters of what everything was going on. And so I actually joined a few research projects surrounding OBGYN and basically like antepartum kind of surveillance and telehealth. And that was the one thing everybody was so interested in. And I was really passionate about that project. So I was able to talk about it in a way that people really related to. And so I would really say like research was like one of the biggest things. And then I would say the next biggest thing was questions about my blog, because I did start a blog when I was in medical school, and I decided to put it on my application and talked about, you know, how much I love mentorship and how this blog has kind of grown into its own thing now. And people were really interested in how I balanced that. And so those were pretty much like the top two questions I got in my interviews.
It is so neat though to see, you know, things when people are excited and really want to talk about something, it becomes more of a conversation. And if you don't know much about it and you put it on your application and can't have that conversation and that fluidity, it becomes really challenging for the applicant and the person interviewing you.
Absolutely. If you, and I would suggest talking it out with a friend. Like if you can't explain your research in a genuinely interested kind of tone and just be able to carry a conversation to someone that has no idea what you're talking about, I would say put something else first because they're going to ask about it. And it's something that I think all research should be something you're really interested in. And that's the easiest way to talk about it during your interviews.
Very important. And, you know, we talk about some of these interviews being more conversational and getting questions about things we enjoy and we're passionate about. But there's also these times where we get these really hard questions and it can be really frustrating when you get a question that you really don't know the answer to. So do you have any of those experiences when you're on the trail?
Yes, I do. And I remember, I don't know if this is an experience with, you know, other specialties, but I think OBGYN in general, sometimes the personalities, like you just really can't tell who's interviewing you on the other side. And some of those questions are meant to be kind of tough questions that put you in a corner and you don't know if you even answered the question right or not. So I remember a question that I got, I don't know if I answered it right. And it was basically like a scenario question. So those scenario questions where it was like an attending that was like, if you saw something that you knew wasn't right, basically, what would you do and how would you speak up? And I was like, well, of course I would speak up. I'm going to stand by my patient. And like, I care about patient care more than attending's ego. And then he kind of doubled back because usually I thought that question would end at that point. He was like, okay, so what about the next week? You saw that attending do the same exact thing that was completely inappropriate. And it had something to do with like pain control and post-op, like, you know, cesarean care or something like that. And it was like, so what would you do if the attending said, I heard you last week, and this week I'm not going with what you're doing and I'm going to do what I do and do something completely inappropriate, which is basically not cover pain control for like his patients. And he said, what would you do then? And I was like, hold up, I don't know. Like, my real answer would be, you know, try to talk to my resident and try to like figure out like maybe I'm missing something. But I didn't want to, you know, I just really did not know how to answer that question. And I think those scenario questions, you really have to go with your gut and what you think is correct, not the politically correct way, because at the end of the day, that's what you're going to do. And if you're not the right match with your program, you're not the right match. So those little scenario questions where you're just like, wait, what? Am I supposed to answer this differently? Go with what you really would do. And I think that's my only advice that I would give. It was still really hard. It's actually making me like sweat right now thinking about it.
That is such a hard question, but it is so true when you talk about the fact that if you are uncomfortable answering or if they don't like your answer, it may not be the best place that you belong as a resident.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what made me realize, okay, if I answer the question wrong, then maybe that's like a really good wrong answer because I'm not going to sit there and let like, you know, someone's an attending do things that I can't even at least speak up for, you know, like that's the least you can do. So that was my answer.
Well, sometimes we get questions that are a bit more fun, but can also be a little bit hard to answer as well. And these are ones that might ask us like what our superpower is if we were to have one, or what we would do in a certain scenario that's a little bit more silly. So I'm wondering if anyone asked you any of these like unusual or unique questions, and what did they ask and what did you say?
I had a lot of strange questions like, teach me something new, which I think is the most annoying question in the world because you're like, there's so many ways you can go with that. And I usually, with those questions, if I was interviewing for a different city, I would like talk about something specific about my hometown that they may not have known. So I try to go with like those type of answers. But one that I remember specifically, not from my specific interviews, but talking to one of my friends who also went through OBGYN interviews, they asked, what surgical instrument would you pick that if you had to like defend yourself in a zombie apocalypse?
Oh my God.
I was like, what? That is so wild. And my immediate, I mean, I didn't get that question, but I immediately thought of the Bovie. I was like, I would just burn everybody right in front of me. I don't know, like a big Bovie. I don't know. I was like the first thing I thought thought about. I was like, maybe a scalpel. I don't know. But I thought that was like a really silly kind of fun question. But obviously, like, you need to know your instruments in the OR. So
true. You're right. It's like a way to ask to see if they know, but it also is a conversation starter and can get you talking about fun things that really lighten up the mood. And so, you know, that brings me to the other side of the table. You know, you are an applicant and you do get the opportunity to ask the program director or even the chair questions during the interview. So what questions would you recommend an applicant ask of their OBGYN faculty?
What was really important for me going through my OBGYN application and as I got interviews was to make sure that not only interviewers were asking me questions, but that I was the right fit for them. And that really depends on your own priorities. Some people care about totally different things. So that's the one thing I would say, even if you're talking to your friends and they're like, I really care about this, I'm going to ask about this. That doesn't have to be the one thing you ask them if that's unimportant to you. For me, one of the most important things is I wanted to train at a program that was non-malignant and not toxic. I think in surgery culture, you can find a lot of programs like that. And I know that personally for me, I cannot thrive in situations like that. I need camaraderie. I need mutual respect. I need like friendliness. I need, you know, just a supportive environment from all levels and not earning it at the last year. And so I made sure to ask those direct questions in a way that made it seem like, look, this is, you know, I not only give this energy, but I also need to receive it. One question I would always ask to kind of figure out if I was interviewing with the chair or the program director or any program leadership, I would ask, you know, what are some personal experiences you had with the incoming intern class that you could share with me about like your personal relationships with the people in your class? Because to me, if you have a personal story that you can share with me about the students that are entering your program, that means that you actually know them, you care about them, you have like personal time with them, and you can actually like show that you have that relationship that I think I would want in my program. And so I thought that was a really interesting kind of take on that question. And then I would also ask like, you know, how is support? How do you give support to your students? How is it when, you know, someone's maybe not up to par on their certain milestones surgically or, you know, just assessment wise as an intern? And how have you dealt with that? And one really important question is, you know, has anybody left the program? And if they have, following up, for what reason? And did they switch specialties or did they go to a different program? And you have to be explicit with that question, because if not, you have to read between the lines sometimes. But you can ask direct questions, because as much as this is an interview to you, you also are interviewing them.
Very important to think about. Like you said, you want somebody who's going to give you transparent answers. That's really key when they're going to be your program director or they're going to be your chair moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
And other times you get the opportunity to sit next to someone like you who is now an OBGYN resident, and you get to ask questions of the resident to learn more about the program. And this could even be a time in which you learn about the city, but it can also be a time where you ask questions that you may not be as comfortable asking that program director or chair. So what are some examples of questions that you might ask?
I think it is kind of hard to ask that. If going to a program that really has that mutual respect, like I said, and somebody in a program that's not toxic, not malignant, if that's something that's really important to you, I would actually feel a lot more comfortable asking a resident that question. Like, you kind of have to spin it in a way to a program director or a chair, but a resident, you should absolutely ask that question. And another way to ask it is just to ask like how they get along. And one thing I always saw, people would say, we're like a family. And I'm like, well, that's not really the best answer, because a lot of family members fight. A lot of them family members hate each other. So what do you actually mean by we are like a family? And don't let people say like, oh, well, you know, there's personalities. Like, literally dig in. The moment they give you an inch, keep on going, because sometimes presidents aren't straight up. And once you keep on asking, they're like, okay, I know what you're trying to get at. And then they'll be honest with you. And that is really what it is. I don't know. And I'm guessing that I would highly suggest being as blunt as possible and asking these questions to these residents directly about what you're looking for and what you think you can bring and being just very honest about the environment you think you could thrive in, that's really important. So if people say it's like a family, which is what they're going to say, dig deeper.
Yes, I agree. You're going to get a lot of the same sorts of answers. And what you really want to know are things that a lot of people aren't going to say right off the bat. You have to engage with them longer and really probe for more information in most situations.
Exactly. You would be surprised how much is left on the table if you don't directly ask those questions.
So throughout this process, it can be really stressful. You're applying, then you're interviewing, and then finally, after your interviews are all done, you're ranking your residency programs. So can you give us some tips in order for applicants to get through the stressful process of figuring out how to rank a program?
I'm a little bit of I'm not weird because I think there's a lot of people in my situation, but you know, I'm not married. I don't have kids. I don't really have a tie down to a certain city. I traveled a lot. Like I, you know, grew up in Los Angeles, lived in Houston, Texas for middle school and high school, went to med school in New York. So to me, when I thought about location, when people would say that, I've kind of thought like, you know, that's just for people that have always grew up in Oklahoma and got to stay in Oklahoma kind of thing. But that's that when I started thinking about location for me, I was like, well, I think I kind of thrive in city environments. I kind of thrive in metropolitan kind of cities. So that was really my vibe. And that was something that I prioritized. So I ranked a lot of bigger cities first, or at least where I could drive to a big city, like within an hour if I really need it. But now that I'm on the other side, I would really, really emphasize the location. Now that I'm on the other side, I'm like, wait, what am I doing in Chicago? And I mean, Chicago is a great city. It's awesome. But when I tell you, I was like, not prepared at all. And I realized like, oh, I don't think I thought this all the way 100,000% through. Literally place yourself in that state, in that city, that random place that you really got along well with the residents and you love the PD. Like, that's all great. But like, think about where you're actually going to be living. And are you going to be by yourself? Like, I'm literally here starting all over again. And it's hard. It's something I wasn't, you know, I know that I'm going to thrive. Like that, I always come out on top. I'm not going to lie, but this transition period is rough. I'm not going to lie. And that's really important. So I emphasize that for my future applicants. The other thing that I would say is really making sure that, when you're ranking programs, like I highly suggest that, especially if things are virtual, talking to people outside of those virtual residency kind of interview, dinner, pre-social things. Get their phone number, get at least two or three people, and get two or three people's different perspective. Because if you can hop on the phone with them and you can do that for your top five programs, that really does help you understand programs a little bit better. And that actually helped me shift some things around when it came down to finally finalizing my rank list.
We think the Midwest is great and we know that you will learn to love it. Yes. But you know, the one cool thing about residency is it's a period of time in your life. And so no matter where someone ends up, whether it's their number one or number 10 or number 12, 4 years, 5 years, 3 years, depending upon the specialty in a city, and it can be rough at the start, but people will learn to love different aspects of it.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, that's how I was in New York and I ended up moving to New York. It was such a tough transition that first year. I didn't have any friends. I was over here looking at everybody, going to brunch and in the city. And I'm like, I was so depressed. But after that, oh my gosh, I didn't want to leave. So I completely agree with what you said. I think it's so important to just realize that for some reason you're supposed to be there and you will transition and be all right, especially because, you know, like you said, it is a finite amount of time and usually it ends up being a lot better than you think. I keep on telling myself that, and already, you know, my first day has been incredible.
Soon we will also have to ask if you're a White Sox or a Cubs fan. That does come between being a resident.
Ask me in about a year. I'll get back to you.
So, you know, Mila, you have shared so many tips in regards to this OB-GYN application and interview process. And one cool thing that you mentioned earlier is that you do have a blog, you have an Instagram, Med School Mila, that we would advise everyone go on to and learn all the tips and tricks. So thanks again for sharing those tips for OB-GYN. But one last thing, we would love for you to share another fun fact about yourself.
Fun fact. Okay, I always go with the same fun fact, so maybe this is getting a little bit boring, but y'all haven't heard it yet. my fun fact is that I have a twin brother, and he is just graduated law school, and he's taking his bar exam. So once he passes, I'm about to just hire him as my lawyer, and I don't know, we'll like maybe create businesses together, and I'm so excited to utilize him.
How cool. That would be a neat team. That's all the time we have today with Mila. Thanks for joining us at Inside the Match. Special thanks to Kevin McLeod for the music, and be sure to follow or subscribe to our podcast. Catch our next podcast to learn more application tips and hear from another awesome resident or leader in medical education.